How many of you remember a while back that our church got involved and we decided that we would help the Open Bible Standard Church, if you will call it the main office? They needed a van, and that is the van that you helped provide. That is the van that you helped make possible for them. And let me tell you, I thank you because it was the only place I was getting air conditioning sometimes. So I'm very grateful for that, and they are grateful. That's how they're getting food to people. That's how they're bringing people in. That's how David Moreno is getting to the other pastors to minister to them. That van is a godsend. So, Jamie, you could just kind of filter through some of these pictures here as we go here, guys. I just want to kind of give you an idea. This is the start of it. This is the church. This is their main church there in, and this is not typical, but this church regularly has over 500 people every single Sunday. And I want you to look at something. Look around there. You don't see any air conditioning vents. Lots of fans. Praise God for fans. It is amazing, and it doesn't stop them. They have amazing worship. You can keep going. You can see they have a balcony up there. The balcony is full. The people are pressed forward in there. That's not a great representation, but that's how they look. I mean, it is amazing. They're blessed. Let me tell you, that power that you see right now, that is not all the time. Cuba has rolling power outages, and so we went without power multiple times. They have a generator. That's very helpful, but for those of you who know me and know my backstory, the church did catch on fire while I was there. And we did go without power. I blame it on me. So, but keep going, Jamie. Let's keep looking here. You could just say, oh, it is the coffee. That does not do it justice. You all think that looks like a big cup. That is the size of the cup right there. My finger did not fit through the hole. But praise God for them and their generosity to provide us with coffee. I wanted to kind of show you this picture. This is important. That's David Moreno. I can't even go through all the names. But they're right there. They are there figuring out how to feed 15,000 people a week. Right there in an air-conditioned room. The ministry that continued to take, that spontaneous ministry that just happens. Was happening all around us. It was amazing. There's the church in and of itself. It's amazing. It's a three-story building, and they use every ounce of it. Once again, just some pictures from Cuba, the amazing cars everybody hears about. Those are actually used as taxis. Those are the really nice ones. Not all of them are that nice. What else we got in here? The people. Let me tell you, some of these people hadn't eaten in a while, and they were just happy to be there. They were happy to see one another. Look at this. And this is before everything's kind of just getting started. So you can see some empty chairs, but there was no empty chairs by the time we got started. And so you can see the people. We were able to provide them with paper and pens. How many of you take that for granted? They don't have paper and pens there. When they got their papers and their pens to be able to take notes, to take back to their churches, some of them just cried for the ability to take notes, to take back with them. How about this? These people, I'm going to tell you, it's about 90 degrees in there right now. And that didn't stop anybody from worshiping at that point. What else we got, Jamie? I don't remember what else we put in there this morning. That's it. So I want to just encourage you guys. Mission Esperanza is an amazing ministry. And I'm already past, aren't I? Oh, yeah. It's amazing ministry. You're going to hear a lot more about it. We're going to have opportunities. I'm wearing my Mission Esperanza shirt today because I believe in this ministry. I will tell you, it was life-changing for me. Catch me afterwards. I'll tell you all about it. It was life-changing. And these people can teach us a lesson in true humility and gratefulness. Because that's who they are. And I was so grateful. Thank you, church, for sending Pastor Aaron and I. He will be back later this week. He's actually helping plan another church right now. And he is doing some fundraising with some people who've come on another side of it to do some fundraising. So pray for him. Pray for him. He'll be back late this week. But keep that in mind. So, all right. Well, I'm excited today. Where's all my mothers at? Where's all my ladies? I'm not very many hands. Come on, let's see some hands, yeah. Stand up for a minute. Stand up for a minute. Stand up, ladies. Come on, all you ladies, stand up with me. Come on. Men, you got a lot to be grateful for. You, as I look around here, you have a lot to be grateful for this morning. If you didn't read my Facebook post, I suggest that you do to see how much I value my wife, what a great support she is, and I want you guys to know that's what's being fostered in this place. So I want you men, come on, give these ladies a round of applause. Let's go, come on. All right, ladies, you can sit down. You can sit down. I won't embarrass you too much. I was really excited when Pastor Aaron said, I'm going to Cuba. He's going to Cuba. And he said, you're going to come back, though, and preach on Mother's Day. I was like, that's awesome. I appreciate that. I was grateful for it because God had given me a message for you guys. And it's for you. Men, you get the opportunity to hear it. And you get a chance to apply it. But I'm telling you that God has spoke directly to my heart about this. He gave me this word. It is for you ladies in this church. I don't care whether you are... You have children now, in the future. You have spiritual children. I'm telling you, this message is for you. And guys, you get the privilege of hearing it and hopefully being ministered to in the same time. So let's turn in our Bibles. Who's got their Bible with them today? You get your Bible? Electronic Bibles were pretty popular in Cuba. I was surprised at how popular they were. But I've got it up here on the screen today. How many of you are familiar with the story of Queen Esther? She's an amazing woman. And if you haven't read the book of Esther and you want an amazing read, it is drama filled. It is action packed. There's murder, there's plots of murder, there's heroes. I mean, it is an amazing story. And I suggest you read it. I'm not going to try to do that for you today, but we're going to pick a passage. And it's a familiar passage. And when I was praying over it, I said, God, is this really the passage? And he said, yeah. And so we're gonna talk about this really amazing passage today. And it's Esther chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Are we ready? It says, if you keep quiet, this is Mordecai speaking to Esther. It says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? And then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. She said, go and gather all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. And if I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just thank you for this time, God. I thank you that you have called us out for such a time as this. God, I pray right now that our hearts would be open to you. We give you free reign over this place today. We give your Holy Spirit complete control in this place today. Lord, give us ears to hear today. Give us hearts to know your heart today, and give us eyes to see the things that you have for us today, God. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to go quick here today. I want to kind of give you a little story about Esther. Some of you may not be familiar. I know some of you are. But her story is really an amazing story. There's a lot of backstory to it. And some of you can really relate to this. And how about this? Esther was called to an unfamiliar place. How many of you ever been called to an unfamiliar place? Right? Doesn't just mean a land. It means sometimes you're in a place that you are, it's just unfamiliar. But let's just talk about it for a minute. This isn't super, super spiritual in this moment, but it's historical. See, the Jews, they're living in the land here of Persia in that moment, and they're unfamiliar with it. But they've been there for a while. They've been captive. They had gone about 100 and some odd years before, and Persia had taken them back, had gone through and taken the people back to Persia, from Israel, from Jerusalem. And they're living there in this kind of captive place. And they're looked down upon. They're the second class citizens, if you will. They're the people from the wrong side of the tracks in the place, in Persia. They're just kind of, I don't know, they're just They're not real. They're foreigners. I got a little feeling of that this week when I was in Cuba, right? I was a foreigner in a different place. And there were some looks at times. Like when they said to me, I wanted to go for a walk and see some of the city. And they said, oh, please, Pastor Kelly, do not go. Stay here. We'll walk with you, but you don't walk by yourself. Fair enough. But during this time, though, and some of you really realize this and maybe you understand it, they begin to settle in. They just begin to accept. They begin to kind of, well, it is what it is. It's where God has us, I guess. We'll just take what it is. And I think a lot of us, we can identify with that situation. We can really, we can sympathize and we can empathize with what those people of Israel found themselves in. Some of you, maybe you found yourselves in a city where maybe you don't belong or don't feel like you belong. How about this? Maybe you've been in a job where you go, I don't know what in the world I'm doing here. Maybe you found yourself being thrust into a role that you just felt completely unprepared for. Can I tell you what the theme of my trip was this last week? Aaron was so sick of me by the end of Monday because I said the question that I continued to ask, what am I here for? Why am I here? Anybody ever said that question before? Why am I here? Why? So I think we can really find ourselves as we look at the story of Esther. A lot of us can begin to identify with the people of Israel. We can identify with what's happening here. Why am I here? You ever wonder that? I've had a lot of those times in my life. God, why am I here? What am I doing? And that's kind of how things were for them. Well, we're here. Okay. But let's talk about Esther and how she was called from this unlikely place. A place that you would not expect. She's an unlikely queen. There was already a queen in place. But she's got some things going against her. She wasn't a woman who met the typical standards of a queen of that time. She didn't meet those standards. Honestly, guys, just to be really truthful with you, she's from the wrong side of the tracks, if you will. In my town, that would have been you were from the east side or from the south side. That's where the poor people lived. Right, Heidi? If you lived on the north side, you were okay. But on the south side and the east side, not so much. But let's tell you a little bit about her. Not only is she a Jew living in a captive land, she's an orphan. She's an orphan. She's a woman whose both of her parents had died, and this uncle, an uncle takes her in, Mordecai. And he takes her into his house. So she's got all these strikes going against her. She didn't get to go to the finest schools. You know, she wasn't that royalty that got to go and get trained at, you know, at the college, at the Cambridge. She got to be educated by her uncle. That's what the Bible tells us. That Mordecai trained her. That she listened to him. She was essentially homeschooled. She wasn't part of any royal line. She was a simple woman. But she's a woman of virtue and wisdom. The Bible talks about that, that how she was full of wisdom, how she understood how to take instruction, how to listen. How many know that listening, that's important, isn't it? Yeah. Listening is important. Men, you need to listen. You need to learn to be a little more like Esther, gentlemen. Learned to listen. Verl, you've been married a long time. It's important to listen, isn't it? Amen. Amen. All the ladies said amen. But let's talk about how we can identify with Esther. Some of you are out there going, well, how in the world do I identify with this woman who's a queen, who is a hero in the Bible? The Bible touts her as being one who saves, we'll get into that, saves an entire population, an entire race. But let's talk about it. Maybe today you feel like you're not qualified to do what God has called you to. Some of you have been called to some pretty hard roles. Some of you have been called to some places that you don't really feel like you belong. Sounds a little bit like Esther, doesn't it? How about this? Maybe you don't feel like you meet the standards for the calling that God has placed upon you. Some of us feel like that. Aaron hates it because I always call myself junior pastor. Because I sometimes feel that way. Sometimes I feel like I'm not qualified to meet that standard. Maybe some of you are all alone. Maybe you've been orphaned. Maybe it's a physical death. Maybe it's the fact that you're somewhere where none of your family is at. I can identify with that. Some of you don't feel like you have the support or the training or what's needed, if you will, to fulfill what God's called you to do. A lot of you moms out there, and spiritual moms and grandmas and aunts, adoptive. I told my wife this morning, we only have one son. You all know that. But I looked at her this morning and I said, Happy Mother's Day. And then I said, you have a heritage of spiritual children, hundreds, in that moment. Some of you, you feel that way. You're going, I don't know if this mom role. But let me tell you, the world needs you. But most of us, whether we're male or female, I got to be honest with you, we can probably identify with where Esther was at. Feeling unqualified, unprepared, we're not the right person for the job, if you will. That's how we feel. But then enters into the room Mordecai. He's a good man. He's a good man. He gets it. He gets it. He's Esther's uncle. He's sent by God. And we know little about Mordecai before this story. We know very little about him. Says that he had a job, but insignificant. It was outside the gates because that's where he was supposed to be. He's a Jew who lives in Persia, right? Second-class citizen. But he has this amazing job that God's put before him, this calling, and it's to teach and instruct Esther, preparing her for a time that God would call her for. He didn't know what that was going to be. So he took the time. He nurtured her. He molded her. Not because he had to, but because God had a plan and he needed Mordecai to be the vessel that he had called him to. You know, it's interesting. You say, well, I don't have a Mordecai, and I got to be honest with you, that's wrong. God has placed a Mordecai in your life, and you go, well, who? And it's one that you have access to at all times because he put his Holy Spirit out there for us as access to us, to nurture, to teach us. If we look at John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus gives us these instructions because Jesus at the time is actually saying, hey, I'm going away, and it's better that I leave you. Because if not, the Holy Spirit won't come. So here's what he says about the Holy Spirit. He says, but when the Father sends the Advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. So you've got the greatest teacher, the greatest instructor, right at your fingertips, ladies. Is there any moms in here who feel just a little overwhelmed? I'm not a mom, but do you feel overwhelmed? I can't imagine you guys' job. You guys have an amazing job. I am not qualified. I am not qualified. Thankfully, I'm not called to that ministry. You know, I'm not. You guys have an amazing ministry. And I can imagine, only imagine, that it's overwhelming at times. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus left the Holy Spirit here to help you during those times when you're overwhelmed. He left him here to instruct you, to teach you, to comfort you in these times. He put a Mordecai in your life. You know, there's a key to this whole thing, though, about instruction and about accepting a Mordecai, the Holy Spirit, into our life. It's about being able and being willing to take instruction, because that's a key to Esther's story. Esther was willing to take instruction. I don't like taking instruction sometimes. I hate it sometimes. But I'm telling you, it's important that we be willing to take instruction. How about this? I read this quote by Dr. Tony Evans. God doesn't always call the equipped, but he equips those that he has called. That's a strong statement, because some of us, we don't want to walk into the calling that God's called us to, whether it be a mom, whether it be a business manager, whether it be a minister down here at the altars, whether it be, because we don't feel equipped. I'm telling you, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips those that he calls. So mamas, today you might not feel equipped to handle the job. But I'm telling you that the Father will equip you. He will prepare you. He will make you ready for exactly what he's called you to do. Because let me tell you, my God does not leave us hung out to dry. Don, he has not left you out, hung out to dry, has he? That's right. How about this? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. And this is important. It's the second half that some of you are going to hear, but it's important to understand this piece. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen." I gotta be honest, guys. I can't think of a greater calling than motherhood. Ladies, I can't think of it. Some of you may say, "Well, I don't have any children." I'm telling you, you have the opportunity to have spiritual children. And let me tell you, that is an important need. Some of you say, I don't have any children. Let me tell you, this world needs aunts. I'm grateful for a lot of God-fearing aunts in my life. God has called each and every one of us to that. Because God's calling you, ladies, this is important, hear me loud and clear. Men, you can hear this. But God is calling you to raise up a generation of God-fearing people, people who love the Lord, just like Mordecai did. He took this, and he wants you to install in them the love of the Savior. He wants you to install in them the heart of the Father. And I'm telling you, it is a huge job. He's calling out that Mordecai spirit in each of you, in each of us, that will nurture and adopt those who need it. According to God's word, you're equipped because of Jesus. Just because you feel like the job is too big doesn't mean that the one who lives within you cannot overcome. I know there's some of you right now, you're feeling, "Oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do." I'm telling you that the one who lives inside you, he overcomes. He overcomes this morning. Our God is big enough. Church, he's big enough to cover the call that he has placed on you. Joshua 1:9 tells us this. It says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, because you are called for such a time as this." Philana, you are called for such a time as this. Rhonda, you are called for such a time as this. And it's not because of who you are, it's because of who lives within you. How about this? How many of you know that in every good story, there has to be a villain? There has to be a villain. And in this story, it's a man named Haman. He is dead set against the rising of any Jew, and he plots this genocide. I mean, it's a genocide of the Jewish people. And there's some history in this that you find out later on, that Haman's family felt slighted by the Jews. And you find out a lot of other stuff that goes into this. And he is bent on wiping out the vision, the calling. He has this hatred that it's a passion, if you will. But within this hatred, this passion that he has, he forgets that the queen herself is a Jew. Sometimes that's just how it is for us. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. It seems like someone or something in our life is hell-bent on keeping us from the calling that God has placed on us, isn't it? How many of you have ever felt a little opposition? Well, you guys are quiet. I'll tell you, the Cuban people, they'd be jumping up and down right now. Because I'm preaching, I'm teaching today. This is good stuff. How many of you faced a day when maybe those kids are just a little bit too difficult to deal with? Amen, right? Amen. Yeah, on you. I'm talking about you. How many of you maybe been facing a challenge at work or even a coworker who's making life difficult? Oh, yeah. Praise God for difficult coworkers. How about another host of things that could be money? Ooh, amen, somebody said. How about health? You name it. There are things that come against us and the callings and the things that God has called us to do all the time, isn't there? I got to tell you, if it was easy, my father-in-law always said, they wouldn't call it a J-O-B. But in this case, a calling. Sometimes we have a Haman in our life, just that obstacle. That obstacle to what God has called us to, whether it be your role as a mother, whether it be your role as a provider, whether it be your role as a spiritual leader, God has got calling on you, but the enemy does not want that to happen. But guess what? Even in your protest, God's calling is still for you and is to be accomplished. That's what we find out in Esther. At the start of our passage today, Mordecai reminds Esther that this was her time, and that God's call will be seen through. She has a chance here. Get on the bus, Esther, or get off, because God's bus is still going to continue to move. Your choice. Shasta, the bus is going to keep moving. You got the opportunity to jump on. Some of you might even ask, well, if God is going to see it through, why do I have to be a part? Anybody ever asked that question before? Come on, I know some of you have. I said that once or twice in my life. God, if you're going to do it anyways, you don't need me. I'll just hang out over here. I'll wait for the next bus. It seems a little easier. But Mordecai, he reminds Esther in that passage that there are consequences for missing the calling, for failing to missing the calling. He says it could be death to their entire household. That's what he told her. What he's saying here, though, really what the moral of the story is, the moral of that piece of the scriptures, that the failure to follow the calling that God has placed upon you has an effect on others. That's the truth. Your calling is not just for you. Your calling is bigger than just you. But Neil, what you do has a lasting impact. It does. Some of us think we're insignificant, but I'm telling you, you're not insignificant in God's plan. What you do matters. Who you are matters. It matters. But here's the amazing part. Thank God that even when we fail and we protest, none of you ever protest God's call on your life. He does not take that call off of us. He does not take it away from us. Romans 11:29 tells us that. It says, for God's gifts and his calls can never be withdrawn. The truth is, ladies, men who are listening, you were called for such a time as this. God knew that when he created you, that he had a call for you. He had a plan for you. What's happening in your life is not by happenstance. Even those things that you screw up, and I've screwed up a lot of them, God has a plan for those. I don't have it on the screen, but Genesis chapter 50 tells us what you meant for evil, God turns for good. Because he has a plan. Even in the things that go wrong, he has a plan to make them right. He has a plan to make them prosper. He tells us that in Jeremiah 29:11, right? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Just like Esther was given the opportunity to save the people of Israel, you were created for the call that God has on you. And you can't shrug it off. It would be easy to. But let me tell you this. God knows where you are. And some of you are in a bad spot. I know that. And he still wants you specifically. You will not be defined by who you are, but by who you serve. That's your definition. I don't care what you've done. You are defined by him and not by the things that you've done. You know, Esther, she gets a little concerned in the story there because the king hasn't shown any interest in her for a month, and it was death to go before the king. But I'm here to tell you that the King of Kings is interested in you. He is interested in you. Well, what else can we learn from Esther? You are not alone. You have a whole community that is surrounding you, and that should be something that causes you great relief. 1 Kings chapter 19 tells this story of Elijah, and Elijah has a pity party. None of you can identify with a pity party, can you? I had one in the airport on Friday night, but that's okay. And Elijah, he sits down on the ground just like this. Oh, God, I'm all alone. Anybody done that before? Maybe I should open up the altars and let you all come sit beside me. And then I'll call you all liars when you don't show up. I'm all alone, God. And then God says, you're not alone. I have 7,000 other believers, Israelites, held back just for you. They were waiting to help, to serve the Lord with him. God is telling you this right now. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to speak prophetically. He spoke it in the airport to me, and it was a harsh one. God is telling you to stop feeling sorry for yourself. I know that doesn't feel good. I know it doesn't. Plug into those around you. That's our job, to support one another. That's why we have a church, to help us support the callings, the roles, the things that God has called out in, to nurture, to build, to strengthen, to walk beside. That's our job, church. I want you to look around. Look at your neighbors right now. Look at all your neighbors. Come on, start looking around. And ask your neighbor this. Are you part of my 7,000? If they answer no, I want you to punch them on the shoulder right now. It's okay. The Holy Spirit told me to. right? Not in the face. I'm just kidding. Don't punch anybody. It's too late, but I gave that plenty of time to let it happen. Esther knew this, guys, that her calling and the ask was bigger than just her. She knew that. And she enlisted those around her to join her in the calling. Some of you are going to look, your heads are down right now. And you're thinking, well, who's around me? Who's around me? And again, I say, look around to the church. That's your 7,000. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered in his name, that the Lord is there and we can accomplish anything. And be honest, guys, we get weak and sometimes we need somebody else to stand up beside us. Because we were never meant to carry the load by ourselves. You were never created to that. Moses, he tried that all by himself. How many of y'all know Moses? Who knows Moses? And Moses' father-in-law comes to him in wisdom when he's trying to do it all and says, knock it off, dude. You're going to die if you try to carry this burden all by yourself. Church, ladies, that's who I have a heart for today. Knock it off. Stop trying to carry it all by yourself. Stop. You weren't created to carry it all by yourself. You were not created to do that. Some of us even say, well, I got myself into this mess, and I don't care if you got yourself into the mess, because there are people here who are going to help drag you out of the mess. They're going to support you. They're going to throw you the lifeline. Here's what Ecclesiastes tells us. Solomon said a lot of stupid things sometimes, but he said some really good stuff. Ecclesiastes, I hate reading it. It's depressing sometimes, but here's what he says in chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, look at your neighbor again and tell them, it's my job to catch you if you fall. Well, we're going to start wrapping it up here. Esther, she's favored by the king. She finds great favor. We skip ahead in the story. She takes the chance, and she goes before the king humbly. She goes so humbly. And the king sees Esther for who she is. Not just her outer beauty, but her inner beauty. He grants her wishes, and Haman, he eventually gets what he deserves, but more importantly, what does she teach us? She learned that her calling and her covering allowed her to go boldly before the throne of the king. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Because let me tell you, church, you can go before the throne of the King of Kings because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. You can go boldly. Sometimes it's not very proper, is it? But we have access to the king at all times. Because in that moment, when we stand before the King of Kings, when we stand in humility, covered by the blood of Jesus, he sees us as his chosen, his anointed, and his very own. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. These are a people. There's always a happy ending to the story. I love that. That's what I love about Esther. A people saved by one woman's calling for such a time as this. Your calling goes beyond you, and it affects the people around you. You have an impact that cannot be measured. This morning when I looked at Heidi in the bathroom, and she was beautiful, hair wet, trying to get ready, I saw the impact of hundreds of kids who have sat in our house, of young women that she has mentored. You have an impact that cannot be measured, because not only does it affect you, but it goes into other people's homes. Your calling matters. It's not insignificant to God or the people around you, because you might be the one who was called for such a time as this to bring salvation to someone else. That salvation may look different. It might be spiritual. It might be financial. It might be just that that person needed that day. But your calling matters, and it is not insignificant to that person. Last thing I'm going to say about that is, you are not too old, you are not too young for God to use you in ways that you can't even imagine. You are not dried up. You are not Sarah's womb. You will be just like Sarah's womb. You will grow fertile. You are usable. I don't care what age you are or what your issue is. I'm looking directly at you, and I am saying that God has a purpose and a plan for you. I'm praying over you right now that God would make your lives fertile, that he would begin to prosper you, that he would begin to grow you today, that you would see your value, that you would see your worth, that you would see what he's placed in front of you as not a challenge, but an opportunity. An opportunity to change a generation, to change a people, to change one person. I can assure you that just like Esther, God has called you. He has equipped you. He has surrounded you with people to support you. And lastly, I want you to hear this loud and clear, that he has put his favor upon you. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray with you today. I've gone 5 minutes extra, Heidi. I'm sorry. And I want you to be honest with yourself, because I'm going to ask you a couple questions today. I'm going to ask you. They're hard. Be honest. If you can't be real in this room, where else can you be real? So don't any of you hold back. I don't care if you're a man or a woman today. Though this lesson is for you, ladies. Men, don't be too ashamed or too macho to jump on the wagon. That's how most of my life runs anyways. I get to jump on Heidi's wagon. Let's close our eyes. If today, first and foremost, I will never miss this opportunity. If today you want to allow Jesus into your life, to be the king of your life, and that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you say, I don't know Jesus, or I've walked away from him, but I want him to be in control of my life. Just raise your hand. I see the hand. See him? There's a second question in this. There's two more questions. If you are searching for meaning, for a calling today, if that's you, raise your hand. You need a calling. You need a purpose. You need to find reason for what God is bringing into your life today. Just raise your hand. And there's one last question. If you're here and you feel overwhelmed and you need God's presence to come into your life, and you need others to support you today, I want you to raise your hand. If that's you today, you're overwhelmed. It's okay. It's okay. I'm going to wait a minute, because I know better. You are overwhelmed. You are overcome. I see every one of those hands. if you raised your hand for any capacity, would you do me a favor? Would you stand up? Please don't be shy. Please don't be shy. Please, please. I'm begging you. Church, this is your opportunity. This is weird. I know I usually do an altar time, but I'm not going to. Because I need these people right here. Church, turn around and look around. Look at these people who are standing up right now. And I want you to begin to be like the Jews of Susa, to begin to be like Esther's servants. And I want you to begin to surround them. And I want you to begin to lay hands on them. Come on, don't let anybody be left alone. I don't know what they're standing for, but I need you to surround. I want 1, 2, 3, 5. Come on, show these people. You're part of the 7,000. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. And I want you just to begin to pray over them. Lay hands, because this is more important than you'll ever know. The act of laying hands upon people is biblical, not only from the sense it conveys support, it allows the hands and be the hands and feet of God right now. So let's begin to pray. Father, I just thank you for each and every one of these people today, Lord. I thank you for the calling that you have placed upon their life today. Lord, I thank you for who you are in their life. Lord, for those who have desired to accept you into their lives, God, I pray right now, Lord, that they would begin to submit their lives to you, Lord, that they would begin to know exactly who you are in this moment, in this time, in this place. Father, that they would hear your voice and they would know that they have found the Savior. Lord, I pray for each and every one of these people who are overwhelmed today, God. I pray that you would begin to release your spirit upon them, God. Lord, that you would begin to comfort them, that you would begin to strengthen them, God. Lord, that you would begin to make clear what is dark, Lord, what is murky today, Lord, that you would begin to illuminate their path today, God. Lord, that they would begin to understand and feel the support of the hands and feet of Jesus today, that they would know who you are today. Lord, that they would know that they are not alone in this time of trial today, God. Lord, I pray that you would just touch them. Lord, for those who are seeking a calling today, Lord, for those who are seeking purpose, for those who are seeking you, Father, that I pray that you would open their eyes and their ears to the things that you have called them for. Even in the confusion, in the chaos, God, that they would hear your voice today and they would know your plans. Your word declares, according to Jeremiah 29, that you have a plan for us, God. I pray that you would reveal it to them, that you would show them exactly who you've called them to be today. God, I pray that you'd release your spirit upon these people today. Lord, meeting every need. And we praise you and we thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm gonna turn it over here to Verl for a second. Please just have a seat. We're really early still for me preaching. All of you should know that.
I just want to make a quick announcement. Several months ago, Pastor Aaron asked me if I would do some teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but this is one of the ministries that God has given me, is to help people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the reasons that a lot of people have trouble receiving is they're not taught on it. And so for the next couple weeks on Wednesday night, I'm going to be teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you've been coming to this church for years, you've already heard it. So I'm inviting newcomers to come and receive that teaching. And we're not gonna embarrass anybody or anything like that. But I would just like to invite you to our Wednesday night services for that.
Amen. Well, we got a little special thing for you. Heidi, I did okay, didn't I? The timing was all right? All right. No. Not that. I was more worried about time. We have a gift for all of our ladies today. Where's all my kids at? Come on, kids. Come on in. Come on in here. Come on. Come on, Josh. You're included in on this, kids. That's the biggest kid here. We have gotten flowers for all of you. So I want all my mamas to stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Spiritual mamas, aunts, come on, not uncles. You all uncles, sit down. All you aunts, stand up. You grandmas, stand up today. Come on, you spiritual moms, stand up. Stand up. All right, guys. Josh, you're responsible now. No, responsible and Josh, that might be a whole nother thing. We have got a flower for you. Come on, kids, let's bring these out to these folks. Let's get these out to all these ladies. And while we're doing that, I want to, ladies, I want to do one more thing. Stay standing up. I want to read as these children hand out to you. And I believe this. Somebody said one time they didn't believe this was a blessing, but I'm telling you this is a blessing. Straight out of Proverbs 31. I remember. But this is a blessing. This is an absolute blessing. And for men, this first part addresses you, and you better feel this way. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her. Heidi, I trust you. She will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. Yeah, listen, continue to listen. Listen, come on. Listen to what I'm saying here, because it's important. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plans the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and she buys it with her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong and a hard worker. She makes her dealings sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamps burn late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor. She opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear for winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspread. She dresses in fine linen, purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchant. She is clothed with strength. Listen, ladies, men, where are you at right now? Where's my men at? Put your hand on your wife. Put your hand on your wife. Find every lady. Find a lady right now. I want you to hear this part. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise. She gives instructions and kindness. She carefully watches in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand up and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you ladies surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. This is what I want you, the last part I want to close with. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds be publicly declare her praise. Men, children, let's give all these ladies a hand. For all you do, for all the crap you put up with from us. Amen. I know. We praise you. We bless you. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your presence that falls mightily. Lord, I thank you for the spirit of Esther that you have laid upon each and every one of these women. Lord, that you have placed a calling upon their lives. Lord, for now and for the future. God, I thank you that you have equipped them because of their calling to raise up this next generation. I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.